Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. And of course, Straight Talk has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right. Woo! Good Lord. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. Thank God there's stuff going on right now. I'm going to be honest with you because we were starting to wonder what the heck we're going to talk about. We will be here, though, as I've mentioned, throughout the week and throughout the days, that we are here to provide you the information that is happening in real time, both nationally, worldwide, locally, and, of course, in sports, and give you the escape that you need. So here's the deal. Here is the deal. Football is going on, and business as usual is a good thing. So Tom Brady is leaving the New England Patriots, and we were joking with Key a little while ago about where he's going to go. And Key kept saying that he was going to go and stay in New England or whatnot. But we knew, if you listened to this show, you knew that Tom Brady was going to be on the move. That there was probably very little chance that Tom Brady was not going to test free agency. That Tom Brady was probably going to leave New England. On February 27th, Jeff Darlington came on this radio show, friend of the program, Jeff Darlington, and said this.
This is exactly sort of what we've been projecting for the past several weeks and even months. But I think what's especially interesting here is that when we see this memo come out from the NFL and this announcement that essentially setting new guidelines and rules for free agency, imagine what that would look like if Peyton Manning, for instance, was about to try to take his big free agency tour and all of a sudden that thing gets completely canceled. The one interesting component here as that pertains to Tom Brady, from what I understand, has never had those plans. He's never really wanted the Peyton Manning tour. He hasn't anticipated flying around the country to different facilities, but instead felt like he could accomplish a lot without necessarily meeting face-to-face. So it's especially intriguing that when it comes to Brady, nothing really changes here. I think we should continue to anticipate him very excited about free agency and very much looking for a new team in the NFL.
Actually, he said that on NFL Live. That wasn't February 27th when he came on this show. And it's funny, just to give you a little behind the scenes, we always like to pull the curtain back. Like 30 seconds into that minute cut, Bergman goes to me, "That wasn't on this show." Thanks, Captain Obvious. The music in the background didn't give it away?
Yes, it totally did. I just didn't know if you knew, because sometimes you're a little slow like that.
Yeah, definitely not slow. We play music not while the guests are on, though.
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah. So here's what he actually said on February 27th.
I get why we're all uncomfortable kind of accepting the reality that Tom is serious about leaving. The people close to him feel the same way. But Tom Brady is definitely looking at this with his sights set on leaving the Patriots. And I think that's why all of us, whether you're close to him or don't know anything about him, need to probably start accepting that.
Accept it! And now acceptance has gotten here. Acceptance is here because Tom Brady put out a heartfelt message about his time with the Patriots, and it's over. Now, is he coming here is the question. I think it's really possible. It's exactly what the Chargers need, to be frank with you, because they've got no juice. Like, honestly, I'd love to hear from people out there because we know there are Raider fans in this town. Bergman is one of them. We know there are Rams fans in this town. Even before they came back, we knew that there were still Rams fans here. I mean, there are a few. Whenever I would go to a bar on like a Sunday and football was on, there'd be like one or two Charger fans in the bar. It was mostly like Raider fans, right? Or Rams fans, or, you know, fans from other teams, right? You know, New York fans, Boston fans, whatever. Like, they'd be sprinkled in the bar somewhere. But not a lot of Chargers fans. And based on the attendance at the soccer stadium in Carson, there weren't a lot of Chargers fans here either. And we know the people in San Diego don't love them all that much. So if you're going to get an opportunity to really try to create something, and I understand it'll be short term, but you'll get some bandwagoners, some kids may like it, and that's what you want. You want to get that next generation of fans. That's what you're trying to do. Look, it's what the Clippers are trying to do by building all those basketball courts everywhere. Like that's actually smart business. And this is the first wave of smart business the Chargers would be doing. Is Tom Brady as good as he was 2 years ago? No. And he's only going to get worse, probably. But if you protect him and you get him enough weapons and you got a defense, you're going to be in good shape. Here's the thing, though. Tampa's got more weapons. I don't think that's even debatable. Their division is easier. The Chargers have a tougher division, easier schedule per se just for next season, but don't have as good an offensive line as the Bucs, who have about an average to above average offensive line. Remember, the Chargers' offensive line last year was a complete, unmitigated disaster. Look at what Phillip Rivers looked like last year. Yes, there's some erosion from Phillip Rivers, but it couldn't have been that much erosion. I mean, maybe. I could be wrong, but I don't buy that. Not, look, if it were that, I don't see the Colts clamoring over Phillip Rivers like they are right now, if it was just purely erosion. So, I do think that that offensive line needs to be retooled, and certainly healthy on top of everything else. But what would you do if you were Brady? You go to Tampa with more weapons and an easier division, or you come to L.A., play in a tougher division with the Super Bowl champs, but a slightly easier schedule this year. But less weapons, worse offensive line, 43-year-old quarterback. I don't think it's a slam dunk decision on either side, because clearly there's a lot of benefits to playing in L.A. But how many of them are actually football benefits? Because where he's going to want to go, he's going to want to go somewhere where he can win a championship. And I know the Chargers were the sexy pick last year and it was a disaster, and maybe they can make that work and they can fix that, but I just think Tampa on paper is probably better. And this is from a guy that would love to have him here, because I need content. I am in the content business. Give me everything you can give me, especially right now. 877-710-ESPN. If you want to hop aboard, 877-710-3776. We got people chiming in. We'll pick up your calls here in a second. In the interim, all hell broke loose in the NFL yesterday. All hell broke loose. Stephon Diggs went to the from the Vikings to the Bills. And by the way, we were talking about it yesterday, where DeAndre Hopkins went from the Texans to the Cardinals, and we were like, what is Bill O'Brien thinking? How bad of a day has Bill O'Brien had? And I'm like, it can't get that much worse, right? Oh, yeah, it can. Stephon Diggs got a better haul than DeAndre Hopkins, and Stephon Diggs is nowhere near as good as DeAndre Hopkins. He's really good, but he's not top three good. So, Bill O'Brien, rough day. Rams, tough day. DeAndre Hopkins, as we talked about yesterday in your division. Cardinals, who were the weak link, now much better. The Rams, hemorrhaging guys. The Rams, not making moves. The Rams need to make some moves. Whether that's trading for Christian McCaffrey, as Key said, or just making something happen. I just don't know what kind of ammunition they have to even make a deal at this point. All right, let's go to the phones. Mitch, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, we lost you. Sorry, Mitch. So anyway, I just don't know what kind of ammunition you have if you're the Rams. Like, how do you try to make that work? Because you don't have a first-round pick, but it seems like for the next several years. Go ahead, Mitch. What do you got?
Hey, George, I'm sorry. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Go ahead.
I know what the Rams are doing. I mean, they let go of Dominic Sue. Now it's Brockers. And with the Chargers, I think Tom Brady should come to the Chargers. They have a great defense, I think. Good tight end, wide receivers. I'm even happy at their running back, even though they let Melvin Gordon go. Tampa Bay, it's not an easy division. You got the Saints and the Falcons, I think. And even, I don't know what the Panthers are doing. But if he comes to the Chargers, I think he could win within 2 years.
I mean, we'll have to wait and see. Look, the Chargers will either take Cam Newton or Tom Brady, I think, at this point. But, I mean, Cam Newton's been hurt a lot, and Brady's 43 years old. I don't think any of it is great. Hello, sir. You're on the air. Oh, we lost it. So, anyway. I think that the Chargers are going to definitely land a quarterback. It's just a matter of which one of these guys they end up landing. Will they be landing the GOAT at 43, or will they be landing a early 30-year-old Cam Newton, who may be physically breaking down? Neither option is 1,000% appealing, but I think it could be certainly an upgrade over Tyrod Taylor. Look, I think Tyrod Taylor's a really great backup. I just don't know if he's the type of guy you want as your starting quarterback. Let's go to Sid in Irvine. What's up, Sid?
Hi, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I think people underestimate just how critical it would be if Tom Brady came to the Chargers. I think he'd put a lot of butts in seats. And I just think that people follow him in the same way that people used to just adore Kobe. They just love to watch him play. And I'm not sure what it is, but I think he just has that kind of attraction. So the Chargers need something. They need some sort of X factor, and I think he could give that to them.
Yeah, I'm with you. They need some juice. They have zero buzz in this town. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. All right, coming up next, we'll take more of your calls. Plus, a buddy of mine, Evan Cohen, who works at SiriusXM. He works on their big sports channel, Mad Dog Sports Radio. He's their morning show host on the East Coast. Some of you have heard him before on the show in the different iterations of Sedano 1.0 and 2.0. I like bringing on my friends. You know, you clearly have heard people come on who are my friends. They may not be household names, like a Jeff Darlington, who now is a household name, by the way, after this Tom Brady thing. But Evan is a big Patriots fan. He's a talk show host. So I feel like we're going to have a great conversation about a million things, but particularly about this Brady thing and where he should go. But first, got to tell you about the Home Depot. Changing ways things get done. With a pocket full of digital tools at the Home Depot app, like image search. Snap a picture with our app, find out what you need, and of course, the product locator will not only tell you how many are in store, but will also show you right where it is, down the aisle and to the shelf. They'll tell you where the number of the aisle and the shelf, man. Look at that. With everything you need to do, these projects will be smarter, faster, and even easier for you. From online tools to free delivery on over 1 million items, welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. All right, we're back in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. It's time for Straight Talk. Evan Cohen, my buddy from Mad Dog Sports Radio. Check him out every morning on the East Coast. So you have to be up like late at night. Well, you catch him sort of early in the morning here on the East, on the West Coast. Because he's on till 10, so you can catch him till like 7 a.m. here on Mad Dog Sports Radio. I believe it's SiriusXM channel 82, so I'll ask him that. Did I get that right, SiriusXM 82?
Yes, sir.
All right.
82.
And he's giving us a Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less only at Walmart. So you are a Patriots guy. Like, this has to be like... Like, have you prepared yourself for this? Was it because, like, Jeff Darlington came on, like, almost a month ago and said that this is a possibility? I saw you here in L.A. a few weeks ago. It felt like you were coming to grips with this. Like, what was this like for you today?
Yeah, I didn't want to come to grips with it, but obviously I did come to grips with it when you took me to a sandwich place because they listened to you there, so you wanted to get recognized.
Oh, yeah, I didn't take you there because of that. I took you there because it's a good sandwich place. It's Fat Sal's in West Hollywood.
I'm just saying. Yeah, we walk in, the guy goes, "Hey, Sedano." I don't know. Anyway, so I would say this, that I definitely was kind of feeling like there was a chance. I think that I thought all along that at the end it would just find a way to work itself out, because I just think that there needs to be a lot of times when you look at these like long relationships in sports, when there is a breakup and a breakup makes sense, there's a story behind it. And the story for Brady to me would have been the Niners, right? He goes back to where he grew up, the team he rooted for, and so on and so forth. LeBron going home, Dwayne Wade going back to Chicago. Like, there are stories that I think go around with them. Even, you know, even if you want to look at it from in a weird way, obviously from an LA perspective, Shaq going to the Heat, going back to Florida, Riley, Wade was kind of the next great shooting guard at that time. It kind of made sense. And maybe there will be a story behind some of this stuff, if it's the Bucks or whoever, you know, the Chargers, whatever it may be. I thought there needed to be more than that. And obviously there was not, because of the fact that we see here that he's not going to the Niners. But I honestly, George, God's honest truth, I'm at a point today where I'm just so thankful. Like, I just am thankful that, like, we got to see this for as long as we did. And even if you're a hater, and I think we've experienced this with the Warriors in the NBA this year, like, I think everyone's going to miss the Patriots and Belichick and Brady. Like, you're a hater of them, not in an unreasonable way. It's not that you would say Belichick's not great or Brady's not great, but you're not somebody that roots for them, and that's okay, right? But I think that they, together with that team, with the villain, good guys, bad guys, protagonists, antagonists, make the sport better. And I think that a lot of the haters are actually going to miss the Patriots as much as the lovers will.
Yeah, I get that. I'm actually in on that take, because everybody needs a villain. Villains are good for sports, and they were the villains. And without either Brady or Belichick, they're just not like the Death Star in Star Wars anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, it doesn't feel that way anymore. So I'm with you on that.
Right, but even look at the Dodgers for a second, right? The Dodgers are a great, hopefully if we play, are a great team. Are they hateable? Like, is there anything about the Dodgers?
Not at all. Yeah.
And even, you know me.
I mean, the Astros are that. The Astros are the villain.
But now they have it. Like, we didn't know that they were this bad. They're about to become that. But even the Lakers this year, like, I'm somebody that is not a LeBron, I'm not a LeBron lover. I've become less and less of a LeBron hater. This is about basketball stuff, not about real life stuff. Guy's obviously a great guy in real life, charity, family, the whole deal. I'm talking about basketball stuff, right? But the Lakers this year, even if you are like a deep LeBron hater, what the hell is there to hate? He's playing his ass off. He and AD have an amazing chemistry. They play defense. They play every game. Like, there's nothing to hate on. So I look at Brady and Belichick as the single greatest quarterback ever and the single greatest coach ever. And I think that either love them or hate them, that's how dynamic they have been. And I think everybody's going to try to put the verses in between Brady versus Belichick. Who's better at this? Who is more responsible? Who's going to have a better year this year? All the conversations that everyone's having. But as a fan of the team, I kind of look at the end and I say, look at Brady and Belichick, what they were able to accomplish. 6 Super Bowl wins, you know, 9 appearances. How the hell they came back from 28-3, I still don't understand for the life of me, in the Super Bowl against the Falcons. And I think about the end between all of them more than the verses, and I hope it doesn't get ugly. It probably will for a little bit. There'll probably be reports. This person said that. That person said this. But in the end, they will come back, kiss and make up, I'm sure, at some point after Brady's done playing. And the end will be more important than the verses.
All right, so someone who watched Tom Brady's entire career, Evan Cohen, my buddy from Mad Dog Sports Radio. You check him out mornings 3 to 7 on the West Coast on SiriusXM Channel 82. How much does he actually have left, do you think?
See, this is the thing that I didn't understand. Like, I don't know where people got off saying he wasn't good this year. Like,
well, I don't think he was. He was since week 4. He was the equivalent of Mitchell Trubisky statistically.
Yeah, I mean, I watch him, and I understand that obviously the schedule got way more difficult. The talent around him got way less, because remember, at one point he had Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown, who are just, if you take all of the off-the-field stuff away, which you can't, but if you theoretically could, I mean, they are literally A-plus level talents, right? And so, you know, it was different this year, but they still got to the postseason. If they scored 4 more points against the Dolphins than they did in the final game of the season, like, who knows what it looks like? They have home field. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's so much stuff that could have happened another way. I don't think the drop-off is as deep as people think. This is very inside Patriots, but I'll give you 30 seconds on this, okay? What people in L.A., they probably realized it since they beat the Rams. But what people around the country didn't probably realize is at the end of the Super Bowl year against the Rams, they became a run-first team. They had a really good offensive line, and they had a really good fullback, and they were starting to get into that transition of what the next arc of Brady's career would be, which is to complement the running game instead of make the running game. And then this offseason, they lost multiple guys across the offensive line, and then they lost their fullback. And so now they're asking him to do something at 42 that they actually didn't want him to do. So they had to change and ask him to pass more in a non-pass-first offense. It's kind of like you and I have talked about this, what I say about LeBron. Like, I think LeBron has an entirely addition and another addition of an arc to his career. I think at some point LeBron is legitimately going to become an outside shooter. And I think he's going to work his tail off to be a really good three-point shooter, which he's starting to get better at. I think there's still another arc to Brady's career as a run-first quarterback, not him running first.
Right, the team.
Running first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's where I think, and you know the Chargers.
Well, but that arc has already happened, right? That was the beginning of his career. So you're saying revert back to something more like that,
yes.
A little more exactly. Game manager-esque.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And I think that was what they were trying to do this year, but because of the injuries, they literally couldn't do it. So this is where I'll throw it back to you on this. So I don't know enough about the makeup of the Chargers. Like, it seems like it's the Chargers, Bucks, or Dolphins right now. I don't know. Like right this second, if the Chargers are made up in that way where you think that would make sense for him. I have no idea.
Well, they were a very sexy pick last year, as you remember. I don't think their offensive line was in shambles, mostly due to injury, but I still think they need upgrades there for him. Their run game is excellent, whether it's Eckler, they keep Gordon. Like, that part of the equation is not a problem. They've got good receivers, not great receivers. I think Tampa has a better roster for him. And I also think the division is easier. However, I think that the Chargers' defense is better than the Bucks, right? But overall, I'd give the roster edge to the Bucks. I don't even count the Dolphins, to be honest with you. I don't think that they're in on this. I would be.
Well, but then, so are you? So then, what you're saying? Okay, so then let's come to some sort of happy medium here. So what you're saying is you think he's worse than I think he is. But you're also not writing off the idea, as we're saying, of reverting back to the first three Super Bowl wins for him in an offense that makes sense for him, but he's way more than capable of being the quarterback of a run-first team, even at 43.
Yeah, I think that. I do think he can do that. If that's the transition, then he's fine. I think the question then becomes, like, how much of this becomes more than football, right? And that was a conversation we had with LeBron a couple of years ago. Does Giselle want to be in L.A. as opposed to Tampa? I mean, who wouldn't? You know what I mean? No offense to Tampa, but I'd rather be here.
No, I think that's pretty offensive to Tampa, but I think it's pretty right on. I mean,
okay, that's fair. You know what? Take offense. LA. Take offense, Tampa. That's fine.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, give me a break. It's freaking L.A. It's true Tampa. It's L.A.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going.
So there's that. Like, I just think the roster in Tampa is better. The division is a little weaker. But I just think that the Chargers... Could he be the missing piece that would have made the Chargers the sexy pick everyone thought last year? I just think that the Kansas City thing looms large, man. Like, I think that the Saints are not as big a juggernaut as the Chiefs. And I think the Raiders are getting better. I think that the Broncos defense is really good. Like, I just think it's tougher out here in the West, AFC West, because of all that.
I think that's a very fair point. But I also think you're talking about a Michael Jordan level of competitor who probably doesn't think the way that you and I would think in terms of,
okay,
well, you have to play this person. You know what I mean?
Okay. Do you have another segment in you? Can I ask you two more questions real quick?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
I'll call you right back. We're back with Evan in 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. We'll continue our conversation with my buddy Evan Cohen from SiriusXM's Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. You can catch him 3 to 7 in the morning. That's 6 to 10. He's the morning show on the East Coast. But you can catch him 3 to 7 here on SiriusXM 82. Friend of the program, longtime friend. This segment brought to you by our friends at Shell. Protect your engine this winter using Pennzoil synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil, and Capital One. 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet? All right, so let's keep having this conversation. You're a lifelong Patriots fan. So let me ask you this. If, regardless of whether you're the Chargers or the Bucks, right, because I can make the case that he could pick either one, and I'd be fine with him picking either one. Mm-hmm. How many years do you sign him for?
So what I've said, and maybe this was more skewed towards the Patriots, but I would think, I guess if it was the Pats, my thought was, I'm going to be honest, I don't know the football contract rules as well as I know the NBA ones, okay? But in theory, a three-year deal where the third year vests if on-field play triggers it. So in other words, if it's a certain amount of wins, a certain amount of touchdown passes, yards, whatever it is, like some sort of something happens where for the first 2 years, his play would then give him a third year. Does that make sense?
Right. It's almost like an option.
Yes, but it's triggered by his performance.
Right.
And again, I don't even know if you could do that. So I guess my answer is somewhere between the 2 and 3 year deal.
Right.
I would think New England, if it was right, and it sounds like he just didn't want to go back. Because, I mean, Bob Kraft is now on the record as saying that if Tom Brady wanted to be on this team, he'd be on this team. So, and it sounds like, you know, Brady had Kraft come over to his house last night, which is what Kraft went in there thinking that it was to sign a contract, which obviously it was not. But so I would think the Patriots probably could have figured out a way of getting a 1 or 2 year deal. I would think everyone else is going to have to get to 3 since he wants to play when he's 45 years old.
Well, but here's the other thing. That conversation probably had something to do with the fact that Bill Belichick is probably not willing to give him $30 million plus per season like these other teams are.
Sure, and I would add one other thing, though. There's one huge difference about this year than all the other years that they have negotiated with Brady or talked to Brady about extensions, and it was reported by Mike Reese of ESPN.com, who does a phenomenal job covering the Patriots. He said that Bill Belichick led the negotiations with Brady this year, and normally it's Kraft that does that, which to me screams out that for the first time ever, if there was not going to be a way to work it out, Kraft was then okay with it, right? Because up until this point, if you're the owner of any business or any team, if you want to guarantee that that person stays, you being the negotiator allows for that to happen because there's no red tape. You either say yes or no and then deal with the fallout from that. And I think this seems like the first time ever, and I may be wrong, but it seems like the first time ever that Kraft was willing, if Belichick goes into the negotiation. The beauty of Belichick and his brilliance, whether you like him or not, is that everyone in life knows how to say hello. Not everybody in life knows how to say goodbye. He knows how to say goodbye, right? So Kraft allowing him, George, to be in those negotiations and only him means that Kraft was willing to say goodbye. I mean, they could spin it any which way, but he was willing in that spot.
Yeah, I've got exclusive audio of Bill Belichick having that conversation with Tom Brady.
Tom, you're going to get $30 million. We're not going to be able to
pay you. Well, better than being a plumber.
$30 million. We're not going to be able to do that. So we appreciate your time, and we'll just move forward.
Yeah. I'm just not sure we're going to be able to pay you.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about $10 an hour, Tom? I understand. You could board up the weekends if you're interested.
Yeah. We'll get you a job at WEEI in Boston, too.
Yeah, exactly. no, but I really do think that Belichick 1,000% would have taken him back and wanted him back.
At his price.
Light. Yeah, of course, but that's anybody in life.
Yeah, like, but we always knew. But listen, you knew this. You're a Patriots guy. Like, we always knew that eventually Tom Brady's dad said this years ago, that this is the way this was going to end.
Well, yes and no. There's one part of this that I think is better than another option, okay? It's that they never had to cut him. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I think Brady's dad was kind of alluding to the idea of that.
Oh, well, being cut kind of like all these other guys, like Lawyer Malloy, basically.
Exactly. Like, yeah. There's no, like, hey, he's a free agent. He's allowed to seek employment elsewhere, and they're allowed to seek a quarterback elsewhere. I think that to me is a little, like, I'm not saying
it's
I'm
more Montana. It's not even Montana, because Montana was traded, right, to Kansas City. So it's not even that.
Yeah, this is he's a free agent. He's allowed to leave. And you know, both parties went their separate ways. I'm actually, you know, I don't know.
It's
where
actually Dwayne Wade, to be honest.
Well, no, this is what this has felt like the entire time.
It's Dwayne Wade when he left Miami and then went to Chicago. And so do you think Brady's going to come back for one last hurrah? That's not happening.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Oh, get out of here. What, at 46 years old, he's coming back to quarterback New England? Get the bleep out of here.
You want me to play it out for you?
Go ahead, play it out for me. I'm just curious to hear this nonsense.
Just to be clear for all of the 710 audience out there, the day Dwayne Wade left the Heat, I said to you he would play for them.
Well, but in basketball, that's different.
Okay, here's how there's in a way of envisioning this. Go somewhere for 1 year, or go somewhere in a multi-year deal. Hates it, or gets hurt. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then gets released. Patriots don't get a quarterback this year more than a one-year deal. Trade for Cam, trade for Dalton, sign somebody on a one-year deal, whatever it may be. Then it's like, all right, we'll just do this. Like, all right, we had the little breakup. Like, let's get back together. I'm not saying it's probable. I'm also not saying it's impossible. If God forbid Brady got hurt and it's like, what's going on? Like, I'm not even playing. Then the backup comes in, a young guy plays well. A la Nick Foles, Gardner Minshew. I'm not comparing Brady to Nick Foles, but you get what I'm saying, that kind of concept. But here's what I want to flip back at you for a second.
Go ahead.
What are you more interested in right now, where Brady goes or who replaces Brady in New England?
Oh, where he goes.
What if I told you, to go 30 for 30 on you, what if I told you that in the Patriot plan was to do trust the process? They have the single best, in my mind, and people in L.A. will hate me for this, with Aaron Donald. They have the single best defensive player, in my opinion, in the league, Stephon Gilmore, who would absolutely get you a first-round pick. They have Julian Edelman, who would not get you a first-round pick, but would get you value. They have Dante Hightower. They have
so you say just tear it down.
If they tear it down for 1 year, stockpile picks, then go Oklahoma City with still trying to actually compete while they're tearing it down. That's the Belichick, I'm going to show off year. We're somehow going to go 10-6 with nobody.
Right, I'm smarter than everyone. I'm going to flex all my muscles. Right, yes.
Exactly. So it's the tear down, flex my muscles, stockpile picks, and then do everything in your power to get Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, I can see that. Like, that part of it is not that crazy. Like, you know, your stuff about him coming back at 45 or 46 is crazy, but this is not crazy. This is absolutely what I would expect from them. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways of looking at this. Now, let me give you my dream scenario.
All right, give me the dream scenario, because I got one more question that I still haven't gotten to in 7 minutes, so go ahead.
Okay, my dream scenario would have been Brady back, but now that he's not. Andrew Luck, which would have to be a trade.
Oh, well, his dad's already said no chance.
Well, it would have to be the Andrew Luck saying to the Colts, I will not play in the NFL unless it's for the New England Patriots. So either you can get multiple first-rounders for me right now, or I'm just going to stay retired. That's not Andrew Luck's personality, but that's my dream scenario.
Yeah, I don't buy that. All right, so how much does the TB12 stuff matter? Because if that matters, like, you know, you and your kale pajamas and him selling more of those to people like you, then I think L.A.'s got to be the spot, right?
That's a good question. Do you think that the TB12, and you're talking about his business, the overall business.
Yeah.
So, like, would anybody today buy TB12 in L.A.? And your answer to that is no, right? But you're saying if he wore a Chargers uniform,
then maybe you'd have a better shot.
What would he have a better? Okay, but here's where I would call
BS. It's just easier to be marketable here.
Yes, for sure. But here's where I call BS on that. Do the Chargers matter?
No.
Wouldn't it be more relevant if he, like, bought a piece of, like, the Clippers or the Lakers?
Well, no, here, agreed, yes, more the Lakers, but definitely not the Clippers. But what I would say to you is this, is that he can make them matter. Because there's not a lot of football allegiances here. They're more Raider fans than anyone. And then there's Rams fans, and the Chargers don't have very many fans at all. So I think he can make them matter for a little bit.
Well, if you think that's the case and that he could sell the TB12 stuff there, then obviously the Chargers are more attractive, I would think, than Tampa.
Yeah, there's more Cowboy fans than Charger fans. That is true. They were just
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're really thinking about the L.A. market, there's one way of getting into the L.A. market. It's somehow through the Lakers. Now, whatever you do with the Lakers, he's not playing, obviously. That's not what right. I'm saying. I'm saying some sort of business.
I mean, they have a roster spot. They've only got 14 right now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, good.
Yeah. I mean, him and LeBron. Maybe he has a cameo in Space Jam. You know, they just add him in. Who knows?
Oh, God, yeah. Vomit. All right. Way to add negativity to my day already. Thanks.
There you go. All right. Thank you, brother. Stay safe out there, okay?
All right. Thanks. Talk to you later.
See you. All right. Kirk Morrison is going to join us in a little bit. We're going to go around the league with him. He's a million things. We'll talk to him about the Brady thing. And I want to ask him what the hell the Rams are doing. Seriously. By the way, Mariota went to the Raiders. We got to ask him about that. Kirk played for the Raiders, too. I just showed Bronny and Bergman and Janice that I bought the padding, the soundproof padding for my office in the new house. I mean, listen, we don't know what's going to happen here moving forward. We're going to try to keep positivity around here, but I may need a radio studio in the house. So
We're going to be here.
Amazon, $20 for 12 feet of it.
That's nice. Good.
So, there you have it.
So now you never have a sick day. You know that, right?
I mean, I can still be sick.
No, well, you
well right now I don't want to be sick. How about that? How about let's all stay healthy right now? Yeah. Thanks to Evan Cohen for joining us there. You can check him out on his radio show. He's a morning show host on the East Coast for Sirius XM 82, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Basically one of my best friends in the business. Which is 3 to 7 here. So if you're up early, like my guy Kirk Morrison, who's up early. This dude's up at like 5 in the morning every day.
Well, 4:15, George. 4:15. That's when the alarm goes off.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Hey, man, I start reading. I listen to Evan from time to time. Man, I'm up early, man. You got to get these stories because remember, when you wake up at 4:15 here on the West Coast, we're actually 3 hours behind
the
news that's going on. So for me, living in the East Coast for a little bit or the Eastern time zone, you know how it is, George. News starts firing off at 6 a.m., which is 3 a.m. on the West Coast.
Yeah. I just catch up really quickly. I've learned to speed read over 20 years of doing this, so I don't need to read that long. I can I speed read. I read the headlines. I formulate my own opinions, and I call Bergman on the drive-in. That's how we do it.
Or honestly, you just don't even have to sleep. You know, that's what I do. Sometimes
I need to sleep, bro. Like for sure. If I don't, I am a cranky person. If I don't get, if I get anything less than 7, I'm a cranky person.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what time are you going to bed? You wake up at 4:15.
I usually go to bed about 9:30. Maybe I get the first segment of the 10 o'clock news, and then I'm done for the night. So that's about it. I just get my highlights.
10 o'clock news. What are you watching? KTLA.
Hey man, chill out, man. I don't want everybody to know the affiliates I watch. Okay, but I'm not giving nobody no allegiance right now. But no, I watch a little bit of the news, kind of get my stories of what's going on in my neighborhood or what's going on in the city, and I'm down for the count. And I'm up early, and next thing you know, I'm reading and just seeing what's going on in the world.
Fair enough. All right, so Tom Brady.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, it's I got to take you back to what my mom always said, George, when I got drafted. My mom always said that it was the best and the worst day of her life. And I said, why? What does that mean, Mom? She says, because it's the best because I know how happy and how joyous this thing is going to be for you to be able to go to the NFL. But then she says, it's the worst day of my life because it's never going to end the way that you want it. That's just the way the NFL is. And if you would have told me 2 years ago, a year ago, or even after the last game that Tom Brady was not going to be a Patriot, that he was going to end up like all the other Patriots, whether it was Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, Richard Seymour, George, those guys all left New England not on their own terms. And I think this is Tom Brady saying he's walking away, but I'm not so sure that New England really welcomed him back with open arms. It was, you can come back, but this is what you're going to come back at. And so that's why I'm not surprised he ended up the way that every other Patriot has ended up. And we're going to see maybe a year or 2 years of Tom Brady, and it's going to be fun for the league. I mean, I'm excited to see where he goes because I think this does move the needle for the National Football League.
Yeah, look, L.A. or Tampa. Here's my analysis of it. I just did it.
Don't forget your old stomping ground.
You think the Dolphins, like Evan said the same thing.
Saying,
I don't
man,
buy
don't
that.
Don't forget Miami, dude. Trust me.
Now look, I'll tell you this. it would be a plan, right? You sign him for 2 years. You have Fitzpatrick as the backup just in case he gets hurt. You draft Tua or something like that, and you have him groom him. Like that would be fantastic. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. My first inclination for the Dolphins is always to believe the good thing will never happen to them. So because of that inclination that I've had since Dan Marino retired in 1999, I believe we are cursed. We are the Cubs of the NFL, and everyone talks about the Browns, but the Dolphins were actually good at one point. Like in my childhood, they were really damn fun to watch.
They were great. They were fun to watch.
And they are not. They have not been. They have been awful. So I always assume that the worst is going to happen to them. So anyway, let's do this. Okay, we'll include them. But here's the way I look at it. I think Tampa has the most has the best roster, particularly on offense.
Correct.
I think they have the slightly easier division.
I can see where you can say that.
Because I think the Saints are trending down, and Carolina's rebuilding. And I don't know what the hell Atlanta is. and then in the AFC, you got the champs in the AFC West.
Right.
You've got. The Raiders who are getting better, And I think the Broncos are always at least going to be average, but certainly great on defense.
Right.
So I think the division is a little tougher. Now, the AFC is easier overall than the NFC. So I would give, like, slight lean to Tampa. But, man, I'd love to see him here because I do a show here, and I want to be able to talk about him being here. And the Dolphins, I guess the attraction is Flores, right? Like, there's that.
Correct.
They're building something. They clearly are signing a ton of guys because they've got like $120 or $30 million in cap space. They've got good young players. I just don't know if he can win there. Like, I think the other two are more ready-made to win.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But I also would say, what's been the toughest place for Tom Brady to play during his career?
The Dolphins, for Miami, sure. Right? He has a losing record in Miami. It's the only place he has a losing record.
So you're always like, man, with the kryptonite for Tom Brady's always been Miami. Why not go down there, be a part of something that they're trying to build and kind of dethrone the Patriots from winning the AFC East every single year? In my opinion, yes, I'm a little more biased. I would love for him to come to Los Angeles. But with Cam Newton now being available, does that make room for the Chargers? As if they don't get Tom Brady, do they get Cam Newton? So there's a backup plan, I think, that's right there for the Chargers. At the end of the day, is Tampa Bay the best place for him? Yes. I mean, think about it. We could have two first ballot Hall of Famers in the same division. I mean, how fun would that be? Drew Brees and Tom Brady twice a season. That's going to be fun if we get that for a couple years. But I think Bruce Arians is a win now, draft a quarterback later. And I think that could be, right now, when you look at what's on the table, that could be the best situation for him to win right away.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that, and Arians is obviously will be amenable to whatever Tom needs to do to make him feel comfortable. He has such a great track record with every damn quarterback he's ever coached, right?
Right.
Now, Key was saying Byron Leftwich is calling the plays, but at the end of the day, it's still Bruce's offense, right?
Yeah, but it's under Byron Leftwich's tutelage, right?
Does that hurt Tom, a young coordinator?
No, not at all. I think, remember, if Tom Brady comes in, he's the offensive coordinator.
Fair. That's like, true.
He's earned enough cachet to overrule Byron Leftwich, right? I mean, I think when he walks in the room, it was very similar when Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos, you know, they came together. Everybody was like, oh, it's Gary Kubiak's offense. It's like, nah. Peyton's running this offense, okay? Remember, they had to change the entire offense for Peyton Manning. Remember, he didn't go up under center. He started doing pistol formation. So you can see that with Tom Brady wherever he decides to go. That offense will be the Tom Brady offense.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's take a quick break. We're back in 3 minutes, Kirk. So we're going to come back and chat some more because there's a lot of other stuff going on besides Tom Brady. And I want to ask you what the hell is going on with the Rams, okay?
You got it, brother.
Because there's not a lot of stuff happening with the Rams right now.